changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Let me introduce Donna Cutting. She is the author of three books on the topic of red carpet service and employee experience. She has a new book. It's called Employees First, Inspire, Engage, and Focus on the Heart of Your Organization. It's being released by Career Press the same day I'm having my surgery, tomorrow. I'm really glad you're here today, just on the day before your book lands. That's awesome. Works with mission-driven leaders to help them create cultures of happy people who deliver red carpet service. I cannot wait to talk about this. I was talking to several people about this concept and about how, for example, somebody was saying to me the other day, well, Disney is hot and Disney is this. And I'm like, Disney is where everyone treats you just awesome. That's what Disney is. And so it's that feeling. It's visceral. And so everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Donna Cutting. Good morning, Donna. It's good to see you.
Good morning. It's good to see you. And I have to say, any day that starts with that theme song and you and Teddy Bear, that's a great day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think you and I would have a lot in common. Looking at the stuff behind you, I see Broadway and movies, and you just described about 80% of my life.
Oh, that's fantastic. We will have to have another conversation about our passions here.
Yeah. Now, and you're in Asheville?
I am. I live in Asheville, North Carolina, the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains.
Used to be a pizza place in downtown. It was actually a brewery that did amazing pizza.
Yes. I think I'm trying to remember the name of it. There is actually Asheville Pizza and Brewery or something along those lines. We've never been, but they show movies as well. Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're still in existence. It's been hard to kind of keep track, you know, after the pandemic, who's still here and who's not here. But I think they're still going.
Well, everybody, if you've not been to Asheville, it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And block out some time to see extravagant opulence by going to the Biltmore House and just walking. What is it they say? 67 bathrooms and you can't use any of them.
That's true. That's right. But it's gorgeous. And the whole estate, like block out the day because the entire estate is beautiful. There's hiking trails. There's outdoor things you can do. And then if you want a kooky fun, go on LaZoom, the purple bus tour in downtown Asheville. So you'll get both extremes of Asheville, North Carolina.
That is so cool. Well, I want to jump right in with a question. And that is, because I speak on complaining, I speak to a lot of customer service audiences, you know, why people complain. That's my thing and what to say when they do. My question to you, though, is having experienced exceptional customer service and horrible customer service, as everyone has, is there a link between employee happiness and their ability to deliver good customer service?
Absolutely. And that's why I wrote Employees First, because there's a direct link between the two. It's not, people will say to me, oh, you've switched lanes. No, I have not switched lanes from customer service to employee engagement. It all fits together, your culture, your people, and the service they deliver. So if you think of it like this, how do you get an hourly worker, for instance, who has never received a red carpet experience to give it? Well, it has to be given to them. You have to model.
I was going to say so that I want you to continue. And what you just said was so vital. In other words, you're giving people in somewhat menial jobs, oftentimes expecting them to give red carpet service. I think down here on the dive boats where I live, because I'm surrounded by dive shops, and you've got young people who themselves have never experienced a red carpet moment.
Right.
And now they're expecting them to do that. Please go ahead. I just, that was, that in and of itself was worth the price of admission.
Well, but, and it's so true. It's like, you know, and a lot of times people will come to me frustrated. They think it's common sense, but it's not necessarily common sense. And I think one of the things that that I think you alluded to earlier in your introduction was the idea of red carpet moments being a visceral experience. And it's emotional. It's all about emotion. It's the way we make people feel. When you were talking about Disney, that's one of the things they do so well. But it always starts with the way you make your own people, the people who work at your organization, how are you making them feel? And then they have some experience to base the service experience that they give your customers and their customers on. It's based on how you made them feel.
I was listening to a Freakonomics podcast the other day, and they were talking about leaders and managers and whether or not a good leader makes a difference and or manager, and ultimately what is a good leader or manager. And it surprised me. After 59 minutes, it all came down to one word: compassion.
Yeah.
In other words, you're able to get out of people so much more if they feel you give a damn about them.
That's it. That's it. And I think what you just said is so important. It's so simple. We make it so complicated. And I think what's happened, you know, pre-pandemic, one of the things that I would see is people were struggling with employee retention, and they would put almost like a Band-Aid approach or a quick fix approach. Let's do these programs. Let's have recognition programs, and we'll throw this pizza party, and we'll do these initiatives, and that's going to help us retain employees. When ultimately it really comes down to human connection, and really how is each leader in your organization letting people know that they care about them? That's really all it is.
It's fascinating you talk about retention, because that was the one thing that they said a good leader does as opposed to a bad leader or good manager. And that is, they're able to retain employees. A bombastic old school, you know, type manager is going to drive people away. And the expense of, I mean, even in my little business, I have 5 employees. To take the time to find somebody else, to bring them up to speed, I would much rather just keep everyone super happy.
Yeah.
So, exactly. And I think there's a myth, and I'm just scatting here, but there's a myth that the way you make people happier and the way you make them give better customer service is you give them more money. Is that what is the correlation between money and good customer service?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you one thing. One of the things that I think we have done in the past that I'll include myself in this, and I no longer believe this, is to think that money isn't important at all. You know, that as long as you have a good culture and you care about people and you're making them happy, it doesn't matter what you pay them. And I think we've kind of used that as an excuse for a little while, and it's not 100% true, because honestly, if you care for the people who work at your organization, then you don't want them to have to work like 2 or 3 jobs just to feed their families, right? And so compensation is a part of that experience. And I think it's important that we acknowledge it. However, to your point, it's not the totality of it. It's, you definitely can't just throw money at someone and say, oh, okay, and now they will create a great experience. You also have to have leaders who have compassion, who have empathy, who treat them like human beings, not just worker bees, you know, someone else, a cog in the wheel, you know, that makes things go forward, who knows them as individual human beings, and who cares enough to give them the tools and the time and the knowledge that they need to be able to create that incredible red carpet experience.
Two things pop into my head, and one of them is doing, you know, 40 speeches a year myself. You get off stage and people come up and talk to you. And I can imagine people coming up to you and saying, you know, this is all great touchy-feely stuff, but I'm a busy person. I've got 450 people, direct reports, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one thing. The other thing that was came to my mind is Mary Kay Ash, who built this worldwide organization and was known for constantly sending out handwritten notes on the birthdays of people's children.
Yeah.
So do you think that some people have a legitimate reason, or is it just excuse making when they say, you know, no, I just don't have time for this, which is funny because I don't have time for the most important thing.
Yeah.
Comment, would you please?
Yeah, it's both. And I'll say it's both because I really have come to believe that we have a workload issue in this country as well, that in the United States, because we've been living on this idea of do more than less, you know, that started in the 80s, I think, and has never stopped and doesn't work, you know. And so in many cases, I think people may feel legitimately that they're stressed out, they're overworked. How do I have time? But the other side of that is, yes, it's also an excuse, because as you indicated, there are leaders who are or were extremely busy, but have just prioritized the things that they do to make people feel cared about and treated well, because they know that that actually cuts out a lot of the troubleshooting that you have to do when you don't do that. So case in point, one of the organizations I've written about in all three of my books is High Point University. So you may know Dr. Nito Quibane is the president there. He's also a very
huge supporter of NSA.
And, you know, he will walk around. Go ahead.
I just said huge supporter of NSA. High Point is always on the back cover of the Speaker magazine. Often.
Yes, huge supporter of the National Speakers Association. And he has created an incredible experience at High Point University that, you know, has produced amazing results. And you will find Dr. Quibane walking around the campus, you know, getting to know students on an individual basis. His door is often open and people can come in and actually talk to him. And I asked him one time, how do you have time to do this? And he said, I don't have time not to. Like, this is the thing I do that drives all of the rest of the success that we have. So in some cases, yes, I think we are far busier than than is manageable. But in many other cases, it's flipping your priorities and realizing what is the thing that you could be doing that will actually cut down on some of the troubleshooting that you're having to do.
It's so funny. A manager spends so much time putting out fires, they don't dig trenches to prevent fires. And what occurred to me, there's an organization called the SAM Innovation Project. I've spoken to them. They do a bunch of events, and I've done like 10. And it's a really amazing organization. It is for school superintendents, excuse me, school principals. It's only school principals. And it has over, I'm imagining they have 1,000 members now. But the point is that school principals spend their days in their office doing work, answering phones. They're too busy to get out. And you have to become a servant leader in this organization. And it requires you to spend, I think, 70% of your time in the classroom with the teachers. So that the teachers know you, the teachers support you. And not only that, every from the custodian to the bus driver has access to your schedule. And if they see you in a place you're not supposed to, they are encouraged and empowered to come up to you and say, Ms. Cutting, aren't you supposed to be in Mr. Bowen's third hour of history right now? And what they've discovered is student test scores up. Teachers leaving down, teachers filing complaints way down. And it comes, I'm preaching here, bear with me, but it comes back to what I teach. And that is that people complain for five reasons. And the number one reason they complain is simply to get attention. And if you don't proactively give people attention, then they are going to begin to complain, but they're not going to complain to you. They're going to complain to one another. and they're going to therefore build alliances, and it's going to be like a cancer.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I, first of all, what a great organization. Thank you for sharing that with me. I want to know more about them. But also what you just said, ultimately, it all comes down to that. We just, everybody wants to be seen, you know, and we are, sometimes we make ourselves so busy that we're not seeing the very people that are entrusted in our lives in various reasons. And whether we're talking about your customer that's in front of you right now, your the person who works at your company, your employee in front of you right now, or your family and friends, it's all about being present and being, you know, helping people be seen. And it's that simple, but I would guess to say it's not easy because we're all human beings and it's sometimes easy to go into our default behaviors than to actually be present with somebody.
Well, and in what ways is, what are we learning about customer service and the great resignation that's going on? I had someone on a few weeks ago who spoke on the great resignation. I know that's something you do as well. So tell us more about how customer service or employees are being treated is affecting the current great resignation.
Yeah, well, I think we're going through a collective values readjustment, right? In this, or many of us are. I will say I got called out on LinkedIn by someone who said his values haven't changed, you know, ever. but I'll say many of us are going through a collective values readjustment where we're looking at, you know, what is truly important at us, for us. And that, I think, is what's fueling the great resignation. So how do I want to be treated? And by the way, that's by both your employer, the leaders, you know, who serve you, your managers, but also by customers. So I think as individuals, we have to think about how we're showing up as customers as well, because there are some people now who have just decided this is not, you know, this is not okay for me. And so they're looking elsewhere where they're going to have a better experience. But going back to this, I actually have started to hear on the news the idea of the great regret, where people are actually going back to the workplace, you know, discovering how difficult it is to work for themselves. And so they're going back to the workplace. But what I would caution employers is not to think, oh, now we've got them back, we can just keep going the way we were going, because it was a very clear message, this great resignation, right? That this, the way we've been working is not okay with me, and it's time to reimagine the workplace.
It comes down to, like you say, valuing employees, kindness to employees, because that is ultimately what we all want. And it also, part of being kind is if I hire you and pay you crap wages, that doesn't come across as being kind. Three of my employees, two are in third world countries and another, I guess, would be second world. But the thing is, what I do is, my intention is to make them the best paid people in their zip code. And they are, by far. And that is simply a way of being kind, I think, and valuing people, because we all want to be valued. In the book, A Complaint is a Gift, the author talks about the average day of a customer service person, and that it is... By the time you get to a customer service person, you've already worked out how angry you are, how indignant you feel, why this shouldn't happen to you. And you come in with a 12-gauge shotgun and they're sitting there with a smile to deflect themselves.
Right.
And so I think part of it too is that we diminish our own customer service experience by not treating customer service people well.
Right. Right. And also understanding that person, that customer service person, probably has very little control over whatever just happened to you. And that, again, that's part of the system, the process that needs to be looked at by the owners of the organization or the senior leaders in an organization. And I'll even give an example. my husband was just in the hospital, and we had an incredible experience with every person, every doctor, every nurse, every CNA, you know, every housekeeper that came in. The people were extraordinary. The system and the communication, not so much. And that was really frustrating. And I think if we, you know, if I had not been doing this work, if maybe we were less compassionate people, that my husband and I easily could have become the people who just like complained to all these nice people over and over again about the problems, the lack of communication, the problems in the system. But instead, we really try to see it as two separate things. So there are some challenges sometimes with communication and systems that have to be worked on from a senior leadership perspective, but it's not that person's fault. And so I think as customers, we have to remember that and like take a deep breath and put our kindness hat on while we try to get those issues resolved.
I'm sure you see it just like I do in the airport. You're standing in line because there's a change or whatever, and somebody walks up with a, and this again, when I talk about complaining always has a, how dare you do this to me? Tone.
Right.
And they personalize something that happens rather than say, thinking to themselves, truly from the other side of the table, that person is going to have to deal with a whole bunch of nightmares. And we know how slow the computers are at airports. You know, you ask them a question and it's 30 clicks later. And having some compassion for that person. I love the fact that we started with compassion. We've come full circle to compassion, and that is to create compassionate service people. We need to be compassionate with them, and to have compassionate experiences, we need to be compassionate in the experience. And this is awesome. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I would just say you and I have this in common because you know, people will say to me, you're so passionate about customer service, or you're so passionate about employee engagement. And the reality is, I'm not passionate about customer service. I'm passionate about the way we treat each other. You know, I'm passionate, and it seems the same with you too, that we want to help create a world where people are kinder and more empathetic, and we're having more loving human communications. And then that manifests in the way we treat customers and those serving us and employees and leaders and just everyone in our world.
I love the way you've put a nice bow on all of this. So I want to invite everybody. This is your opportunity to like, comment, and share, whether you are watching this live with us now or you are watching this as a replay, a podcast, whatever, whenever. What is the name of your book once again, and how can people get it since it's coming out tomorrow?
Yeah, it is Employees First, Inspire, Engage, and Focus on the Heart of Your Organization by Donna Cutting. So tomorrow, it will be available, tomorrow, April 1st, 2022, will be available anywhere books are sold. But if you want to help us get to number one on Amazon, you could go in there tomorrow and get that on Amazon.
Buy on Amazon. Awesome. That does make a huge difference. I'm fortunate in that Amazon published one of my books. And so every once in a while, they'll feature it and it'll be number one again. And at first, yeah, and it does. People really, that means a lot. So, well, congratulations and thank you so much. And I am so honored that this is going to press pause on my interview series for the next week or two as I recover. But this has been a great way to send it off. And I'm expecting great red carpet customer service with the doctors and the nurses and everything. So Donna, thank you.
Yes. Wish you well with your surgery. Thank you. This has been so much fun. What a great way to start my day.
Same here. And we appreciate you being here. So thanks everybody for joining me. And again, whenever, wherever you're listening to this, be sure and like, comment, and share. That's how we build this positive online community.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.